It's been over 2 weeks now since the devastating earthquake in Haiti. Over a million people are still living outside, many with very little access to water and to food. Democratic Representative Maxine Waters recently went to Haiti, and she has just returned. I had the opportunity to speak to her about the current situation in Haiti, as well as a measure that she is sponsoring right now that would cancel Haiti's debt. Representative Waters, welcome back.
Thank you very much. It was a very heartbreaking trip that I had to Haiti. I had seen the images on television, of course, as most people have prior to going, but it doesn't compare to what you see on the ground. The devastation is enormous. To see concrete buildings pancaked and reduced to rubble is just unbelievable. The people are in misery. We have about 1 million people that's outdoors, living in parks, on the makeshift tarps, and people standing in line for food and water, and makeshift clinics, in tents where operations are taking place and there are attempts to save people's lives, and everybody's working so very hard. Our own State Department personnel are sleeping on cots inside the embassy. And as you know, the UN lost about 40 people, I'm told, but yet they have to get up every day and try to complete the humanitarian mission that they're involved in. The logistical problem is enormous, and coordination is not easy. Each day it gets a little bit better, but right now we're focused on how to shelter people prior to the rains coming. People that are living outside must be sheltered prior to the hurricane season. People have open wounds and are recuperating from operations, and disease will spread. Already the babies are getting diarrhea and dysentery.
So what do you think the most important thing in the immediate right now should be done?
The tents are the most important thing right now.
Is that because
we've got to get 250,000 tents.
Is that because people, hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions, are living outside right now?
1 million people are outdoors in the parks.
Yeah.
And so these tents will hold 4 to 5 people, families, and we're looking for army-grade tents. This will be the temporary living until we can get into housing. But certainly the shelter for the rainy season is extremely important.
Are the tents coming?
We don't know. We've got to. The last time I talked to the UN, they didn't have a handle on them. I, too, had started to look. I found one manufacturer. I think in the days between my talking with them and now, they may have found some other manufacturers, and I think they were going to solicit some armies from all over the world. I sent a letter to Hillary Clinton, you know, which I'm sure she understands the urgency, but since I had just been on the ground talking with the UN and USAID, I reiterated the intense need to do everything that can be done to find these tents.
And when does the rain season begin in Haiti, and do you think the U.S., our country, should be more involved in making sure they have the tents in time?
Well, we're talking about anywhere from 30 to 45 days away, and yes, they have to have the tents. I mean, if they don't, it's going to be even more devastation. The thought of all of these people living in parks and on the street, not having shelter, is unthinkable. Like I said, disease and dysentery will spread. And we've got to have them. We've got to get them.
Representative Waters, you are also working on a measure in Congress that would urge financial, multilateral financial institutions, for debt relief. Right now, Haiti owes about $664 million.
That's right, and I have 90 members of Congress who have joined us in sending a letter to Tim Geithner, the Secretary and the Treasurer, explaining that the government of Haiti cannot afford to invest in humanitarian relief, reconstruction, and development efforts while continuing to make payments on debts owed to the multilateral financial institutions like the IMF and the World Bank and the Inter-American Development Bank. We explained further to them, but even before the earthquake, the debt service payments to these institutions were just a tremendous burden that interfered with their ability to meet the needs of the people. So we're asking Secretary Geithner to support three specific actions that should be a part of the international community's response to this tragedy. One, the complete cancellation of all remaining debts owed by Haiti to multilateral financial institutions. Two, the suspension of Haiti's debt service payments to these institutions until such time as the debts are canceled, and the provision of additional assistance to Haiti in the form of grants so that the country does not accumulate additional debts. So, we have this tremendous outpouring of support in Congress, and this letter is going out today. We've been collecting the signatures for the past several days.
So yet you say you have 90 lawmakers so far signing on to your letter. Does
That's
that
right.
include Speaker Pelosi or Majority Leader
Steny
Hoyer?
That's right.
Pelosi is on it.
I believe it's on. Yes, he is. So we have that letter to the Treasury, and we introduced the bill last night. And we have we didn't want to wait to keep circulating for co-sponsors. We quickly got about 20, 30 people to sign on. That bill is introduced, and we'll continue to get the signatures on it.
Is the bill a resolution that's calling on, or would it? I mean, we're talking about IMF and World Bank. So exactly how would your bill influence the debt owed to those institutions?
Well, the resolution basically says that we have, in so many words, we have great clout because of our size and the amount of money that we put into these institutions. And when we speak and we talk about what our needs are, it is taken very seriously. So the resolution encourages and urges the Secretary to speak up and to represent our Congress with all these members who have signed on to say that to use our voice and our vote to do exactly what we have asked in the letter.
Now, world economic leaders met last week, both in Canada as well as at the World Economic Forum in Davos. They have yet to move to cancel these debts. Is that a disappointing sign?
No. You know, some of these institutions move a little slow, but... No, I'm not disillusioned at all, and I think it will happen. It's a matter of them being able to expedite in the way that they do and as fast as they can. We have a lot of emergency assistance, which will continue to come. The Red Cross and the UNICEF and CARES and World Vision, everybody is collecting. The smaller NGOs on the ground, and of course we have our USAID and UN, and dealing with the emergency assistance, the international community in canceling debts and rebuilding with more grants is going to be extremely important. We have a little time for that.
Well, some people are saying that the U.S. actually owes Haiti reparations.
Well, you know, one of the things that President Bertrand Aristide said before he was ousted was that reparations were owed by France, not the United States, but France, because the history of France is such that when the Haitians defeated the French in 1804, the French were absolutely outraged, and they came back bigger and stronger, and they cordoned off Haiti, and they blocked them.
And it required Haiti to pay reparations.
I beg your pardon?
It required Haiti to pay reparations because
they pay reparations, and
Haiti no longer
paid, and Haiti wants reparations from France, and that's what was part of what I'm told. Increased support for his ouster by France was he had the audacity to ask them to pay them back.
But then again, Haiti had to borrow the money from the U.S. to pay that back, and Haiti didn't pay it back until 1947. We've also seen instances of, I think a lot of people would think, U.S. pressure, along with the IMF and World Bank, concerning Haiti's economy, what turned it from one of agricultural, when we look at the rice industry, the sugar industry, one that now has the country importing these things rather than exporting.
Well, you're absolutely right, and your history is right on point. And the story of what happened with sugar and rice is an absolute abomination. These people used to grow their rice and their sugar and I think even some wheat. And, you know, it appears that we had some hand in getting rid of that agriculture in so many ways so that the rice and sugar could be imported. And people make a lot of money off of it down there, the business elite. And it is a sorry tale of the history of our involvement in Haiti and our occupation in Haiti, which, you know, these humanitarian efforts that we're doing now certainly helps to relieve, you know, the thoughts about some of that. But, yeah, our history has not been stellar.
So some would say we actually owe Haiti billions.
Yeah. Yeah, you could reasonably conclude that, absolutely.
Do you think that will happen?
No.
No?
No.
How come?
Well, because, first of all, the public policy of our country has not been such that we have taken Haiti seriously. We have dealt with Haiti in an honorable fashion. The history is one that we certainly cannot be proud of. We're getting some humanitarian assistance now, and I'm, you know, grateful for that. But the talk of reparations just goes nowhere. As a matter of fact, it creates more resistance than not. No, we won't do it. It's not going to happen.
Well, as we look at aid and reconstruction funds towards the future of rebuilding Haiti, I have heard people express concerns because of the history that we have seen with Haiti before, that it's an opportunity for people that want to continue to transform Haiti into the eyes that they would like it to look like. Let me give you an example. James Dobbins, a special envoy to Haiti under President Clinton and director of the International Security and Defense Policy Center at the Rand Corporation, said that, quote, this disaster is an opportunity to accelerate oft-delayed reforms, including breaking up or at least reorganizing the government-controlled telephone monopoly and restructuring the port. Some people say that would be what's left of the country's state enterprises.
Well, in talking with some Haitians when I was there, they're such a resilient and optimistic people that some was even saying things like, this was God's way of starting over and giving Haiti an opportunity to become what it could be. You know, some of us are focused on how reconstruction and redevelopment is going to take place. Those of us who have learned about Haiti during our careers and have moved to be of help to Haiti on the case, and we're going to pay attention. And I've said openly that this can't be another opportunity for Halliburton and its subsidiaries to go there and simply make money and cheat the government as they've done in Iraq and other places. This has to be a well-thought-through plan where we not only get contractors who joint venture with Haitians on the ground and create business opportunities and ownership. But we have to have the right employment policies where people are earning a decent wage. You know, much of what Haiti has been about is exploitation of the labor of Haiti by the industrialists and people who have those factories producing products, some of which come to America for little or nothing, almost slave wages.
Well, how do you think then you're able to ensure with the reconstruction aid that we can anticipate going towards the country that people's basic rights are ensured?
Well, you know, if I sat here and said I can absolutely ensure that, that would not be a good statement. We have to fight for this. We have to fight. You have, you know, a Congress of the United States, the majority of which don't know anything about Haiti except what they see on television with this humanitarian crisis or the hurricanes that took place. But they're not focused on helping Haiti. It's only a few of us who do that. And in doing that, we have to struggle. We have to struggle very hard to try and get Haiti on the agenda for real redevelopment, not just humanitarian aid when a hurricane comes or when the earthquake strikes. But is that going to take a lot of work? You darn tootin' it is. Haiti does not mean a lot to, you know, many of the members of Congress. Many of the members of Congress are focused on not only their domestic agenda, but other parts of the world. You will see people have focus on, you know, what's happening in the Middle East a lot more than you will see right here in our own Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
So we struggle with these kinds of issues. It's a poor black country, the poorest in the hemisphere, with not a lot of sympathy from a lot of people.
Well, Representative Waters, my last question to you, and you have had a relationship with former President Jean-Bertrand Aristide, who was ousted in 2004 with the assistance of the United States. He has
yes.
asked to come back to Haiti during this time. Do you think that's a good idea, and what are the dynamics that keep him from returning?
Well, yes, he does want to come back. I've been in contact with him. He held a press conference at the airport in South Africa, you know, just indicating his desire to return home. The United States will say that that's not their decision. The fact of the matter is, I don't think it could happen. His life would be in danger. He has no security. And I don't think that that's going to happen.
You said the United States would say it's not its decision. Do you think that's true?
Well, I think the United States certainly had a part in the ouster, and I think that certainly Haiti would be in conversation with the United States if such a thing was really, you know, on their agenda. I don't think it's on the agenda of the present government of Haiti. I don't think they want him to return. They've not shown any interest in that. The most interest is shown by Lavalas, the party that, you know, he represented. But that's not enough. Again, I just don't think it's going to happen. I do believe this, though. I am so anxious for the coordination to take place for the delivery of food and water and working out the shelter. What we don't want is we don't want desperation to set in. Desperation sets in. I think it's a real problem. But I do know if that happens, that President Aristide may be the only one that could really work, you know, to help, you know, calm people and build confidence in the majority of the people that, you know, things are going to be all right and that people are working as hard as they can. They're going to need him, I think, if that happens. I hope it does not. But if it does, I think he could play an important role.
Representative Waters, I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
And that was...